Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Okay then, Red Men TV podcast number 10, the Phil Coutinho of podcasts, if you will, the John Barnes of podcasts, the insert Michael Owen. The pre-injury Michael Owen.
Nice.
Actually, maybe anymore? I was 18. Maybe 18 was pre-injury Michael Owen. It's not important. Hi, Chris. You okay?
I'm good.
How's your head? You told me you've just been delving into Stats Bomb, and now you're
mate, it's chocker, mate. Absolutely chocker. I'm looking at a graph that could have been the Matrix without the understanding.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got a question to kick us off.
I think it might have been a just connect the dot, to be honest, because yeah. It didn't seem to be anything else there that made sense.
It's a duck. Great. Question to kick us off then. Obviously, some people will have seen this last night. It was Lucas Leiva's 10-year party, and the players looked like they had a great time, and then we got a notification through from John to tell us that Alberto Moreno was live on Instagram. And he was, with Phil Coutinho, no less, and Roberto Firmino did one, weirdly, that seemed to have no sound, and it was largely just him, I think, baring his teeth.
That's kind of what he does.
Just what he does, whether deliberately or not. So the question is, if you could do an Insta Live, and to be fair, drunk, with any member of Liverpool staff playing or otherwise, who would it be and why? You've had a good look into this.
Yeah, do you know what? Like, you've put this one on the agenda. You don't normally put the questions on the agenda for me to see.
Yeah.
And I'm so much better answering questions when I don't have to think about it. So I've massively struggled. I can pretty much go through who I wouldn't want to be on an Instagram Live.
Okay, well, talk me through it.
Well, look, Firmino and Wijnaldum, love them, great players, but they've got great teeth and I haven't, so they just show me up.
That's exactly the reason why I wouldn't want to be doing it with them. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. And then you look at, like, Grujic seems like a cool guy, to quote Jurgen Klopp, but he's a little bit tall and it's only square video, so you're getting me chinning. Do you know what I mean?
Like, oh, just the top of your head.
Yeah, you know, and I'm not liking that, so you can pretty much count Grujic out, Matip, probably Chan, Mignolet, Karius, they're all too tall for me. It's like if we were to do a selfie-held Instagram Live, it doesn't work. Mm. It's just... So I'm basically left with the likes of Moreno,
too
Coutinho.
Small. Too small.
Like, this is the problem.
But he's probably 5'4", which makes him, like, the best part of 6 inches shorter than you, and that's different. You're closer in height to Karius, Chan, et al. Than you are.
Yeah, so it's a major concern for me, to be honest. It's what it's come to. It's, you know, half an hour of research looking at the size of the squad and stuff, and breaking it all down. I'm pretty much left with Milner, and I really don't want to do it with Milner, but you know what? He might look a little bit chunkier than me. I mean, there's reasons to go for it. I want to prove that he's not boring. He's not chunkier than me, but he's not. But I can live in hope because it's never going to happen, Paul. So yeah. Ultimately, the either's either, you know, I stand on the yellow pages if they still exist and do something.
You do, but they're nowhere near as big as you remember
them being.
Well,
that's crap, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, that was literally the only reason you'd have a yellow pages.
To stand on.
I mean, you wouldn't. You're 6'4". But, you know, for me, when I wanted to leave the house, then I used to have to stand on the yellow pages to grab the doorknob.
That's incredible. Is that true?
No.
Imagine if it was. I've gone for Daniel Sturridge.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Fair enough. Why?
Because his social game is so strong. And I just feel, you know, there's so many bits.
It rub off on you.
The most...
Exactly. You'll be cool
exactly.
by default.
Well, the most interesting stuff Daniel Sturridge has done as a Liverpool player in the last 2 years has pretty much been either on LFC TV, on Red Men TV, or on his Instagram. It's certainly not been on the pitch, has it? So, yeah, I think Daniel Sturridge would be great. And we know I've got a track record. I've met him once and talked to him once of getting...
Do you think there's some chemistry there?
Look, I know. Daniel and I have a rapport. You know, I've got more smiles out of Daniel Sturridge than football's ever done.
Yeah. It did look like a pity smile to me. I was there in the room. But if you want to take it that way, that makes you feel better, Paul. That's absolutely fine.
He had such a cob on that day, and we turned him around. And it turns out that he once made himself on a computer game, and he made himself the best. I foresee that in the future for him again, if I'm perfectly honest.
What he's going to have to do is to give himself a non-injury.
I think there's a question on Daniel Sturridge coming up later on in the pod, so do stay tuned for that. We're going to mix things up a little bit this week. First of all, obviously, welcome to everyone who's joined us in audio form on Acast or on iTunes. Thank you very much to those of you who reviewed.
We got a comment.
Well,
yeah.
Did we?
I didn't know how to find it, but I got a notification saying I got a comment. I clicked it, didn't show up. So thank you for that.
Thanks very much. Make sure you do it on iTunes. But yeah, we promised that if you left a review, we'd read through some of your reviews this week, which we will do. And just a quick shout out, of course, for everyone who's watching us in video form on theredmentv.com. You too can do that by going to the aforementioned theredmentv.com and subscribing. It's just £2 a month and it's free for the first month. And we'll do an extra bit as well. We normally do about 15 minutes extra and some more of your questions. So stay tuned for all of that. So review time then, Chris.
Review time.
So because we've never done this before, I was amazed by how many reviews we've actually had.
Really? Okay, fair enough.
Why?
It gives you the number at the top. I thought you'd seen that.
No, remember we had the question, we had the debate where I said I've only ever seen three reviews.
The number was still said 47 above it.
Oh, did it?
Mm.
Okay, sounds. Then there you go.
That's why, okay, it's fine. It's not an issue.
No, it's not an issue.
You're making it into one.
Am I? Right. So, in fact, let's go all the way back to the start. You know what's really unfortunate? That the names haven't come out great on this because the ink's going.
Tom.
But what's also a point is that the first reviews were all either from you...
What did I say? It's been a while.
You said something like, keep it up, lads. Great work.
All right. yeah, well, you know, you got to get up into iTunes somehow. At some point, I remember typing, this is the best podcast that I'm on. And I don't know where I've typed that one. It might not be iTunes. It might have been Acast.
You know what? Actually, the print quality of that's fucking abysmal. So I'm gonna see if I can get it on my phone.
What was the odds? I'd say he went with a zizzle, didn't he, or something?
A zizzle.
There was something about that. I remember
Steve,
the title.
I think that's his name.
Oh, that's poor Steve. Steve, if you're listening, sack off the.
Izzle. He's not. He's not listening. He doesn't listen. He said this before, hasn't he? Loser.
Right. He was gonna start. I think he lied to us.
Right. Okay. I'll go. Right, okay, you know what, I've got that on my phone here, so let's go. Yeah, out of it, just Chris Bajak, 5-star review, brilliant, superb lads, keep it going.
Is this like when you tweet yourself from the Red Ben account?
Oh yeah, absolutely thing, well it? Yeah,
so that's happened once, Paul.
Absolutely brilliant, the superb stuff, lads. But yeah,
Tom and you,
yeah, absolutely, yeah, good word, you know what I mean? Occasionally. And yeah, Steve Hizzle was his name, is what my mates, kiss, good on him. Matt David Wilson, Matt, if you're listening to us while you're asleep, great podcast, a must for all Liverpool fans, great work, keep it up. Thanks, Matt.
Sounds a bit more genuine when it's not me that's saying it.
Yeah, absolutely. Nat, a genuinely great podcast, have a listen. Pete, Joe Dodd, I've been a subscriber to the Red Men TV YouTube channel and this is certainly not a letdown. So nice to hear Paul and Chris do an alternative format and this culminates in a slightly more relaxed vibe, which is great
it
to
does,
hear
doesn't it,
on
though?
A commute.
It's nice, isn't great it? Job. I like the vibe of podcasting. It's not something I thought I'd be into, but...
Yeah, it's got a good vibe. It feels no different.
I mean, I might be wrong here, but you know, people don't skit your looks on a podcast review, whereas you know, YouTube videos, they're there all the time.
Yeah, I love that. Everyone turns into fucking Gough One on YouTube. Superb as always, AWJ1992. Love Red Men TV.
Thanks, Adam.
And the fact that it's not a podcast, not on a podcast is even better. That doesn't make sense.
It's now on a podcast, probably.
Yeah, maybe. Can listen to you guys on the go. If you're a Liverpool fan and you aren't listening to this podcast, you are lost. nearly as good as great touch for a big lad. That's a general football pod, not Liverpool specific. Who could possibly have done that?
James
maybe. Okay, very funny and entertaining point. You know what, I'll be honest, thanks very much for all those of you sent the early ones. This is going to take us 4 years, so let's get to some of the recent ones, because we did ask you specifically to do it this time around. Airpmat02, great podcast for all fans of the Mighty Reds, keep up the good work, lads, we will do, thank you. Right, Harry_SID, love this podcast so much, been watching since 2012 and loved seeing your content get better and better. Some questions: what is the one stat in football that you would get rid of?
Could just totally get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
Stat.
Mm-hmm.
Liverpool's goals against.
Okay.
You know, we'd probably win the league.
You do a lot on stats. Is there any of them that you just really, really dislike?
Yeah, shots are really poor. Like, I mean, you know, there's so many of them. Like, possession, shots, none of them really... Like, we did one at the weekend, didn't we? Where Liverpool had 14 shots. Well, it's irrelevant unless you know how many are on target.
Mm-hmm.
We had one shot on target. There's so many, mate. It's just possessions... Terrible stat. You don't really...
Pass completion is one for me.
Pass completion's really
bad. It's a new... Because that's only really come around in the last 3 or 4 years. You know, you play a computer game from prior to like 2013 and you won't see a pass completion stat anywhere to be seen. But yeah, it became like it became such a big thing. It's like, hey, well done, you're good at passing. Fantastic work.
That is a very, very good shout.
Brendan and Bobby loved that, didn't they? Where would you rate Klopp in terms of the best manager in the world? Top 10, top 5, the best... that's a tough one, that. I think it's
the best for Liverpool.
Yeah, the best possible fit for the club. I'd say he's probably top 10. He could easily be top 5 or the best, but he needs to win. He needs to win silverware for Liverpool.
It's a really difficult question. Now, how many top 10 managers are outside of the Premier League now? Because you could say that there's 6 top 10 managers in the Premier League, I think.
Mm.
And, you know, this season's going to define where he is in that top 10, I suppose, in the world as well. Because it's like that whole finances thing and Liverpool being in the top 10 but 5th in the Premier League or whatever it is, whatever that stat is. It's exactly the same. You know, now if Klopp's a very, very, very good manager... Him, much like Guardiola and Conte, is still learning this league. Conte's taken to it like a duck to water.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got the resources to be able to do that. I think Klopp would perform just as well, given the resources of the other clubs.
Yeah.
I think it's so difficult to decide on, because ultimately it's not a level playing field. You know, and you've got different values of players and you've got different qualities of players. So it's what you make of it. If Liverpool had Antonio Conte, I'm not sure he could make... I think this Liverpool will be under Jurgen Klopp.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you'd have put Klopp in this season in Chelsea, I don't think they'd have won the league.
Okay.
Which is mad, isn't it?
It's what
type of a manager you are with the type of players. Klopp will get more than the sum of his parts out of his players.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Conte just came in and just instilled something.
Yeah, it's interesting because you're right. I don't know whether we are that... Are we set up to be that club? To be one of those top clubs? Yeah, and I don't know. Again, that's another bigger issue for another day. But I agree with you to some extent. I said it's interesting. We'll come on to it. But obviously, like the Benitez stuff, him getting promoted with Newcastle... has brought him back to the forefront of my thoughts. And I think about him as being a manager. He's very good at doing that, better than the sum of your parts style stuff. And yet, whenever he's been given an opportunity with resources, it's never quite gone right for him. But then, I don't think he's ever really had the best run of it at those clubs either. I mean, the fact that he got booted at Real Madrid halfway through a season is not... You know, that's not fair, and I'm sure he would have achieved if he'd been given more time. But then again, has he got the right personality for it? Does he know how to do that? We'll never know. As you could look at someone like a Mourinho, and there's a criticism of someone like Mourinho for not doing it without mass resources, without being one of the automatic guaranteed top couple of teams in each league that he's in. I'm sure he's not asked about those criticisms because he gets to win loads of titles and what have you. The last part of this, again, thank you very much for leaving the review, Harry. What is the main thing Klopp can improve on in matches? Tactics, game management?
Substitutions.
Mm.
It's got to be substitutions. You know, it's probably the only chink in his armour that I can see as a fan. You know, there might be more, there might be something behind the scenes in the coaching and all that type of stuff. But for me, when you're watching the footy and you're there and your two eyes on it, he sees them a little bit late for me. And whether that's a trust thing, that he's got more trust in his players than maybe I do.
Yeah,
maybe that's where it comes down
to. Or maybe it's just down to... I wonder, I guess we'll know probably this time next year, Is it just down to the quality that he's got available to him? You know, I think we'll be answering more questions this on the website when we're reviewing the season in a few weeks' time. But you know, I think that there's more trust been placed in players that haven't lived up to that trust, and a lot of that is fitness based and what have you. But you know, I agree. There's too many times where we've not been willing to throw people into the fray, or we've maybe just not had enough players who quite do what we need them to do in various types of games. And is that probably what you'd know as a plan B or a plan C, isn't it? And I don't look as though we've had it, because again, it's a total side. I think I'm going to do a video on Rafford and Newcastle on my channel this week at some point. But I've looked at their players and the starts and the substitutions. And Rafford, even though he's probably got eight players that have played over 35 times this season in the league or started. He's got his core side and he's got a couple of obvious subs there. And like Alexander Mitrovic is an example of that. He doesn't start many games for Newcastle, but he comes off the bench a lot, and he gets a lot of his goals and assists in that kind of situation, because that's a pre-planned thing. Whereas I don't know that the guys that we have on our bench, you don't see that same impact from substitutes.
No, you don't. Look, Origi's had loads of substitute appearances this season, obviously more earlier on in the season, but the impact that he had is negligible.
Those substitutions. Absolutely. One last review from the iTunes then. Simply says, Ronan Stott, top 5-star. I'm using my ears to listen, my fingers to write a review, and my heart to connect to the wisdom.
Cool.
That's amazing. Leave more reviews and we'll read through some of the best ones again next week. Thank you. Thank you very much. So, Chris, getting on to the current world of Liverpool Football Club, Crystal Palace have totally ruined the vibe, haven't they?
Yeah, massively, Paul. They're really annoying. I really dislike Crystal Palace. I dislike everything that they stand for. You know, we had that thing, didn't we, the 9-0, and that was great, but how many years ago was that like? Mm. They just seem to be there to fuck shit up for us all the time. Like, Steven Gerrard's last game, yeah. Crystal Palace,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Them at the end of the 13-14s, and they were there.
Chris Stanball,
Alan Pardew, and all that crap that goes with it.
Yeah.
Sam Allardyce, I mean, it's just, what is there to like? Crap stadium as well. It's just a terrible football club with terrible, terrible people there.
I've not got that much of a problem other than them playing against us. I don't mind Crystal Palace too much. But yeah, this is where...
Good fan base, mind.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, so not all terrible, terrible people.
I'm the club.
Oh, right, Sam. We all went very much from great, upbeat, what an end of the season, to, you know, we're looking over our shoulders, you're mentally thinking about this. I mean, this game on Thursday, the Man United, the Manchester Derby, was always going to have massive significance. I think it's taken on even more so if that was possible. It's dead annoying. But the thing about it is, and we touched upon this, and you touched upon this in the post-match content, you know, because we deserve this. And by that, I mean, you know, we totally deserve to have this be the way it is. We do not deserve to have had an easy ride into this, because we've made it for ourselves, and that's a combination of, I think you can discount, we've been unlucky with injuries to major players, without a doubt, and that's definitely a thing. But the way in which, like, again, our fans approach these games, we should be roaring the team across the line here, you know, desperate for them to do stuff. But I think we fall into this trap of misery and fear and blah blah blah, and I do feel it's a contributing factor to Liverpool limping toward the end of this campaign as much as any of the other factors.
Yeah, it is. It's another difficult one, isn't it? Because, you know, the team has got something to do in this as well. I think the fans haven't been good enough at Anfield for a large portion of this season. But, you know, I don't think the team has given us enough since the turn of the year anyway. You know, that January has just killed our season, hasn't it? And, you know, yes, Sadio Mane was gone, but we knew this. Mm. We should have had something there where we knew what we were going to do when he was gone. You know, Jordan Henderson's injuries, Adam Lallana's injuries, it all starts to make you question that bloody idiot who keeps going on about Klopp's injury record with his players. And I don't want to have to keep going on and thinking about that. But every time we pick up another major injury, something crops up at the back of my mind or on my shoulder and starts whispering in my ear, like, is it a major problem with Klopp? Is it something that we're going to have to just deal with over the course of his managerial reign? Because, and I don't want it to be,
yeah.
but you know, we've missed 38, our players have missed 38 months of football this season.
Yeah.
That is a hell of a lot of injuries.
How does that compare?
Club. Who cares?
Yeah.
I don't care about the other clubs.
No, no, but what I mean is the point is if that's, everyone else has missed 60, then that's a good amount of football to lose.
Honestly, I don't know.
Yeah.
All I know is it's too much because we've had more injuries.
How do you know it's too much?
Because we've had more injuries this season than any other year that I can remember.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah, there's injuries there that obviously add to it. Ings. Mm-hmm. There's like, what, 12? You know what I mean? 9 from Ings alone. Yeah. You know, there's loads of injuries there, but it's just too often we're having players miss 3 or 4 games.
Yeah.
And, you know, Adam Lallana, Daniel Sturridge, Jordan Henderson, Sadio Mane, Phil Coutinho, these are all massive players for us.
Yeah.
Dejan Lovren, Joel Matip,
yeah,
pretty much everyone apart from the goalkeeper and the two fullbacks has been injured at some point this season.
But are you lumping in Phil Coutinho, Sadio Mane and Jordan Henderson into what you're saying there about that being a Klopp issue?
It could be. It could well be. You know, I don't know when Jordan Henderson's heel injury started exactly. Uh-huh. But, you know, reoccurring injuries, you've got to sort these out. Mm-hmm. You know, they can kill careers. You know, Michael Owen never really recovered from the hamstring injuries that he got early on in his career. We did something with Steven Gerrard, I feel, when he was coming up.
Yeah.
You know, he had the back issues, didn't he, and like the growing issues and stuff, but we changed the way that we used to train him so that he didn't get those injuries later on in his career. Now, you look at someone like Jordan Henderson, who is almost thrust back in every single time and picks up the same thing, and it's like, you've got to sort these out. I'm not saying that's a training or a match issue, but that is a staffing issue. You know, you've got to look at your players, I think, and go, well, what's the root of this problem? And Liverpool have tried. Mm-hmm. You know, they've sent him over to America for these type of specialists to look at him, but they've not found the answers. Now, try harder. You've got to find the answers because he's our captain and we need him. Mm-hmm. You know, we need the likes of Adam Lallana fit at the back end of the season. You know, it's very difficult. And look, injuries is one of those things that you can pick apart either way.
Yeah.
You can go, oh, well, look, is it this? Is it that? Who knows? But accumulation of injuries is killing our season.
Mm.
So someone needs to look at it.
Yeah, yeah. Like I say, I think there's a temptation. This is the thing we were all at the moment. I was thinking this about yours is injuries. Mine was like kids, the young players. I had this yesterday. I was coming out of here and spent a lot of time talking about the Palace stuff and where Liverpool's problems lie. And I was like, all of a sudden, like, oh God, are any of these kids going to be good enough? You know, blah, blah, blah. Why haven't we got a kid who just come in and it's just like absolutely amazing straight off the bat? Blah blah blah. I think the thing is, when it's not going right, it's very easy to just to like be like lump it all in on one. And on the injury stuff, like I say, I don't disagree. It's not the long term injuries that are Liverpool's fault. It's the little injuries that get picked up along the way, which are your little muscular injuries and that kind of stuff. Because you can't, the Phil Coutinho injury, that's a freak. Sadio Mane injuries, a freak. And Jordan Henderson, again, it's plantar fasciitis. It's one of those things that you get and it's not. I don't know. Well, I don't know enough, but it's not an easily treatable kind of thing one way or the other. Like Jürgen was saying it last week, he's healthy, but he literally can't. There's nothing that can be done about it. It's weird. Danny Ings again, doing his cruciate again. It's the ones like Lallana. They're the ones that do it, and it's Matip, Lovren, Carvins. Exactly. They're the ones. It's those little things that are hampering our consistency. And I'd love to know what was the root cause of all this, and whether that's goes back to that notion of this is the reason why Joel Matip was not available on a free transfer. This is the reason why because the lingering doubts over his ankle and whatever persist. This is why Dejan Lovren's not a top level, blah, 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 blah. I'd love to know what more it was. But this is the problem. Again, this is the thing where we are.
We had Sammy Hippier who never missed a game in like 6 years.
Well, I was looking at that because I'm playing Footy Manager 2006. I look at Liverpool's team and I'm like, who are the fucking subs? You know, where was the squad? We didn't have a squad. We had about 3 other players who played games, but we were, you know, okay, 2006 weren't great, were we? But, you know, we were on a steady improvement and the league was different, yada, yada. But, you know, in those 3 seasons, that 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007, we played a lot of football, cup and European football over those 3 seasons, and somehow we managed to blag our way through it to some extent. It's absolutely baffling. But I think this is all what I'm talking about. Crystal Palace has killed the vibe on this because none of these are issues when you just continue to win, because these are all issues that existed last week and the week before. In fact, they are, relatively speaking, they're easing in some respects, and they're not in others. This is the world we're in, unfortunately, where everything was balanced on a knife edge. We've left it to that point, to that point of the campaign where, you know, we've whatever issues needed to be fixed haven't been fixed. We are kind of flying by the seat of our pants right now, and it's dead annoying. I mentioned this, I think, a little bit on the final wave, maybe, that Liverpool have not proven themselves capable of being a team that can hold on to a lead or be in the ascendancy. And that's not just in footy. I mean, in, you know, not just in an individual match, but in the table. Exactly. And that's the only thing that I cling on to in this, is that maybe it needs to get as close to the wire in order to shock us into life. Like having you've got an exam the next day and you start your revision, or your homework's due in the morning and you start it when you've had fucking 6 months to do it, that kind of thing. I really wish, though, that this wasn't how our football club was set up.
Yeah, it's ingrained in the club at the moment, isn't it? You know, going back to probably the last league title, every time we've won something, we've done it the hard way, and we've clawed our way there and stuff. And you know, maybe every club feels like that. Maybe it's one of those. Yeah. Maybe it's one of those things. Like, I'm sure Manchester United never, when they were winning titles every season, though. But look, I don't know what the answer is. We've had a problem with defending that seems to be systematic over the last four or five managers. We've had a problem with holding on to leads for God knows how many years. We've had a problem from being favourites. You know, what have we been good at? Yeah. We've been good at coming back. We've been good at being the underdog. And I don't know how this translates to a different group of players, but it just seems to, whether it's something that comes from the fans, whether it's something about the club, who knows? But all across football, there's teams that have these traits, and it's not the same traits as us, but traits that are ingrained in their football club.
But this is it, and this is why it's become the DNA of Liverpool Football Club, and this is why it's the same DNA that allows us to win a European Cup final out of nothing, because we have a European pedigree. You know what I mean? And it's inexplicable that a team so far removed from the great teams of the 70s and the 80s and whatever should be able to do those things. But it's weird how Liverpool and clubs have those certain type of things going for them. Even Klopp mentioned it. Did we do it last week? You know, Klopp even said it's almost like this is the Liverpool way. And it's like, well, how do we change that? How do we stop Liverpool from being plucky underdogs? How do we go back to being an elite football club?
Winners. Yeah. It's got to be that simple. You know, people who are used to winning and who will win at all costs, and, you know, not just from a losing position. People who start the game with the mentality of, we're going to go out there and beat these because we're better than them.
Yeah.
And just go and do it and prove it. Yeah. And you know,
well, it's
you need more winners in your squad.
It's that thing, isn't it? Because you looked into this about how many winners Liverpool actually had in the squad, and where does it compare?
We looked at world class players. I think I said that. Now, you know, there's plenty of players who have won a few cups here and there for Liverpool. You know, Alberto Moreno wouldn't really class him as a winner on the pitch. Do you know what I mean? Gini Wijnaldum's won stuff in the past. James Milner's won stuff in the past. But you look at Manchester City and you look at the likes of Sergio Aguero, who's won loads. Joe Hart had won loads. Individual awards as well, not just team awards. You know, Vincent Kompany, Yaya Toure, David Silva. I mean, these are guys that you think winner. You know, you say Adam Lallana, do you think that?
But here's the thing, these guys hadn't won anything when they signed for Man City, relatively speaking.
But they've done that themselves, haven't they? They've crossed that line. We're not near crossing that line.
Yeah. But how do you cross that line?
You've got to win stuff.
So what comes first?
You're a winner. You are a winner.
Okay.
You know, you can be a competitive person, but you go out there and you can win stuff at youth level.
Yeah.
David Silva had won stuff with Spain before he joined Manchester City. Sergio Aguero would, you know, won stuff. I'm sure, like Golden Boots and all that type of stuff. Joe Hart winning Golden Gloves, obviously wins Premier Leagues with Manchester City. Does it come from the manager? Does it come when a team gels? I don't know. But these players at heart are winners. Suarez was a winner before he went to Barcelona.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't have to. You know what I mean?
Yeah. This is the thing, isn't it? This is where the confusion comes from, is that, because I'm riding your heart on this, but it's I think there's a point that, yeah, there's a difference between, I'll give you an example of it. Jimmy Soares is a winner.
Yeah, but he's not.
But he's not a winner. You're right. And this is the difference, is that I think that you, in the, I think we've got, I think you need a blend. I think you need people who've been there and done it. But you would say, I'll give you an example of it. There's a fucking world of difference between Colo Torre and James Milner. Colo Torre was an integral part of the Arsenal's invincible side and an integral part of a league winning Man City side. He's always been a leader as well. He's charismatic. He's an important member of the squad. So he's been a central focus of those of two successful teams. That's a winner. James Milner, I like James Milner, and I think he's got the right attributes in that, you know, his work rate and the desire and his passion and what have you. But James Milner was never an integral part at Man City the same way as the aforementioned Aguero, Yaya Toure, Vincent Kompany, Colo, even Joe Hart to some extent. And this is what we're doing at the minute, is that we've got loads of guys who've got league titles. As you say, Gini Wijnaldum's won Dutch titles. You've got Lazar Markovic, who's won titles in two different countries, you know, prior to joining us, couldn't get a look in at Liverpool. Moreno similarly. Go through it, there's plenty of guys. You've got silverware in the cabinet and medals. But how many of those guys are the guys from those teams? How many of the guys who were the ones who, you know, were the absolute spine of a winning football team?
How many of those guys are world class?
Exactly.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Yeah. You know, you look at Manchester City's; they're all world class, and that's the difference, isn't it? You know, but I don't think that, you know, going back to it, I don't think you have to have won things to be a winner. You can just tell people sometimes, yeah, can't you?
But even so,
Suarez is the perfect example of that. He was a winner before he got to us. He was a winner his entire career.
But you're right. I think you learn. Whereas people would say, "What do you learn from youth levels and all that?" I think you learn a lot, to be perfectly honest. I think there's the people who would have looked at Michael Owen in Liverpool's youth team as a great, is it Mike Yates, who's now a coach at Liverpool, like a youth coach, and he talks about being Liverpool's youth, like, highest scorer. He was their best centre forward, and then Michael Owen came in, and like within a season, even though he had loads of development time still to go, they basically went, listen mate, you're not for us, because Michael Owen had come in and totally set the bar of what was expected. Jimmy Carragher was a fucking centre forward coming through Liverpool's youth ranks. But the point is I think you're right in that, to some degree, is that maybe we need to be looking less at them, how many cups players have lifted at a senior level, and more of what their contribution's been in the teams that they've been in so far. I'd rather be going and taking, you know, you want players who have carried teams to some extent. Again, these are not absolutes, because Jermaine Pennant carried the Birmingham team and was only ever a bit part player at Liverpool. But I think you're right, in more of that, looking into the past and finding guys who are who've just got that absolute hunger, that absolute desire to succeed, and that's what Liverpool lack. And you know that what we're talking about, winners and leaders.
Well, cockiness, I think cockiness has got something to do with it. Guys who take the field and go, I'm better than you, and I know it, and I'm going to prove it.
Yeah.
You know, I too often when Liverpool come against a team that are just sat back, there's no one there to just take the game by.
Yeah. Well, look at
the
this.
Scruff of the neck.
Look at, again. I was critical of him, but I discussed this on Social Club this week. Man United bought Zlatan for that express purpose because he was able to shoulder all the fears of this young team as being built around him. He goes out injured. Oh, hang on, Wayne Rooney's back. Say what you want about Wayne Rooney. Doesn't panic in tight situations. The guy's been there and done it. He's another one. He's a born winner. And I'm not suggesting they'll probably need to go out and buy Wayne Rooney in any way, shape or form. But this is the thing, like, what it comes back to is that Liverpool need to completely change their policy on who we're buying in these things, because it's all well and good buying the next great ... But the reason why Cristiano Ronaldo would never have succeeded at Liverpool is because he wouldn't have been raised around players who would have taught him to succeed and to be the best at this. Because I don't think you could. I think it's much harder to become world class if you've not got anyone world class around you to benchmark against. And you know, I think look at how Fernando Torres and Suarez talk about Steven Gerrard.
Yeah.
Because for as much as he ended up a Wayne in power, he was a world-class player with a world-class attitude to everything that he did in the game, and that's only going to make them better footballers.
Of course it is.
Whereas look at us now. It's all well and good having all the promise in the world, but, and again, this does buy it back into the vibe thing all again, because I'm so down on everything at the moment. But, you know, we need to... You've been banging on about it for weeks, and whether it's a centre forward or whether it's whatever, Liverpool need to go and buy some talisman. We need to go and buy one or two players who are so fucking good at football that it makes everyone else around them automatically better at football. Because, you know, I think we would be astounded at how much more we'll even get out of players that we think right now are playing at a good level just by having that. Because
yeah, and there's a few reasons for that. You know, first of all, the Zlatan one's a perfect example, Paul. You know, you can look up to him and go, wow, okay, well, he's won everything. What's he doing differently behind the scenes? And you get to see that. You get to learn from it. You get to do that. But on the field itself, defences are worried about Zlatan. He creates more space for everybody else around him. It's why Phil Coutinho had one of his best seasons when we had Suarez and when we had Sturridge up top, because those two were just completely causing havoc, and Sterling and Coutinho were feeding off it, and they were getting more space and they were being involved in the game more, and all of our attacking players would feel the benefit of having someone who could occupy two players. Yeah. And it's that simple. You know, did you see that Barcelona goal where Lionel Messi scored?
The winner
the other night against Real Madrid, and it was like the Red Arrows, and four boss players are just running straight down the field, and they've forgotten about Lionel Messi. You forgot to mark Lionel Messi, because all the other players are boss, and he just goes, and it was, I think this was something that they've worked on in training. They all run, they all occupy a player, and Lionel Messi just ghosts into the area in the 93rd minute and goes, I can't believe none of you have picked me up.
Yeah.
You fucking idiots. Thank you very much.
Cheers.
But that's what happens when you've got top players all around the place, that they worry about these players. Like, we play five aside and you play with someone shit, you don't even mark him.
No.
You mark the other four players who are good. That's what you do. Yeah. You know what I mean? You just go,
let him have the ball.
Yeah. We'll run over there and catch him in a bit. Like, but right now we've got other things to focus on.
I wondered why I got so much space in five aside. you're dead right, aren't you? It's that. That's what Liverpool just need, and it's an oversimplification, sure, but there needs to be, and I'm not saying it needs to be, you need to go and buy the Zlatan thing, but you do need change the profile a little. I'm not saying let's stop buying 18, 19 year olds, absolutely not, because the reason Liverpool's issue, so many of our issues come from not spending the money when we need to on these players down the years. Look at who we've missed out on.
Let's mention Dele Alli at this point. He had a good game at the weekend.
Absolutely.
You have to mention him.
Decent player, yeah. Solid. Solid. Would completely walk into our team, would completely improve what we
this
do.
This is the
right
thing
now.
That I don't think a lot of people realise is that for all that football is about now, it's ultimately a succession business, mm-hmm. and it's a succession sport. Yeah. And, you know, it's why Manchester United were so successful for so long,
yeah.
because they had that succession train of players yeah. just coming through yeah. all the time. And how many times was it? 3-4 times Ferguson revitalised that yeah. side, got rid. And that's the hardest thing in football.
Yeah.
You've seen people come in and try it. Vyas Boas at Chelsea tried to get rid of them and there was a revolt and all that type of stuff. But you've got to have youth players coming in who can come in and challenge for a first team spot.
Yeah.
You need to, you can't just go one way or the other, yeah. unless you're Chelsea, which they seem to be able to do that.
Yeah.
But for everybody else, it's a succession sport and you've got to get these young lads coming yeah. in.
Here's the thing, though, about Spurs, is that if they're able to just ride their luck a bit this season, if they're able to somehow get across the line and win a league title this season, then I think that's a transformative effect on that team. But I'll throw this out there right now. Spurs, that's as good. I think this is as good as Spurs will ever be, because of exactly the issue that we've discussed there, is that Harry Kane and Dele Alli are going, I think they're gonna reach a ceiling, and it's gonna be a very high ceiling, but I think they're in a very similar boat to us. But I think if you put a Gareth Bale back into that side, Spurs would walk the league every single fucking season, because again, there's a benchmark that every single player is shooting for, and again, because you need someone to carry across that hump, across that threshold. Suarez very nearly did it for us, and I've genuinely got no doubt if we kept Suarez for another season, I think that might have been the season for us. I know it's very easy to say that now, because we had that it would have been the perfect storm of, we had the experience tinged with the disappointment, but the desire to succeed more. Everyone could have taken a step up in their level in terms of because of said experience. And again, you've still got Suarez, who's fucking amazing.
The great thing is, and it goes about, you know, back to what I was saying before, is that occupying a defence. Suarez could occupy 2 centre-backs, 3, you know, 4 defenders, but still beat them
yeah.
and still score. Whereas when Phil Coutinho is crowded round people now, you know, he's a very, very good player, but he doesn't beat them and score the goal.
Yeah.
Like, it's a free kick, and it's a wonderful yeah. free kick, but Suarez scores the goal that Coutinho got fouled on.
Yeah.
Because that's what Suarez does, yeah. and that's the difference. It's getting over those little lines exactly. before you get over the
and,
big line.
And that's the thing about Phil, ultimately, is that I just think he's too lightweight to be that as well. Ultimately, you know, he's very strong for his size, and that's improved, but he's still too easy to bully off a ball. And as a result, I mean, look at Messi. It's in order to be slight, and, you know, again, he's stocked up, hasn't he? But you need to be bloody unbelievable to be able to not be of an incredible physical stature as well to make it the top
and
level.
And understand the game and understand how people mark. Yeah, Monday Night Football did this incredible piece on Lionel Messi. I think I was talking to you about it in the office. I think it was last week. And it was about the job that, who was it, beat Chelsea the other day? It was at Manchester United, wasn't it, last week mm-hmm. or something? Manchester United beat them and they took Hazard out of the game.
Yeah.
And they went back and they showed how Messi dealt with being man-marked, and he just went and stood on the wing and caused the midfielder, who was man-marking him, to play on the wing and play at left-back, and he'd play in that area. And there was so much confusion about whether the left-back goes with him, but no, the man-marking him goes with him. So he just went and stood there, wasn't involved in the game, and they were a defensive midfielder light in the middle of the park. And it's just these little things that great footballers can do and yeah. understand the situation and understand the game. And, you know, or the other one, he went and stood with a man-marker in between the 2 centre-backs, and the 2 centre-backs were running into each other trying to avoid Messi and all this. Yeah. And you're just like, no one knows how to deal with that.
Yeah.
But when you've played it that many times over a 10-year period...
Yeah, you get man-marked in every game of football that you're
exactly.
playing. Yeah.
And we are still a young team with young players who haven't got that experience yet.
And this is what it comes down to, is that, you know, Liverpool... I just think Liverpool needs someone in that... almost in every area of the park, if I'm honest. But I think if we're going to be that attacking team, we need someone who plays either up front or on the flanks, or in the attacking midfield, someone who has either been world class, or is world class, someone who's been there and done it, just to shoulder more of the burden of that whole thing. We're desperately lacking at the club. Just to go back on the thing, though, because you mentioned it very, very early on, about how all clubs have these complaints. It's all, I always, the thing that brings me back on the youth players stuff and all of these things is, I remember my uncle's a Man United fan and he fucking hated Cristiano Ronaldo. He thought he was a bag of balls. He was dead overrated. He was so wasteful in possession. Played out wide, couldn't cross a ball, couldn't score. All he did was he fancy step overs, blah, blah, blah. And it's they're the things. It's like there's two things in life that really encourage me. It's that from a football perspective. And there's one of Alan Moore, who wrote Watchmen, one of the greatest comic writers. Well, when I saw him in the tavern, it was great. But I actually spoke to him about this thing, and he wrote V for Vendetta, and there was a bit in the back at the back of the trade paperback, and he talks about he'd have a day, and he'd get up and he'd blitz the story in 2 hours, and he'd have a great day, and he'd have another day where he'd do like 15 drafts, he'd throw them all in the bin, he'd twat his head off the wall, and he'd give up in a huff, thinking he's never going to be good enough to make it. And I remember saying that to him. I remember meeting him and saying that, and I said, like, that was such an inspiration. He was like, God, yeah, I still have those days. And like, if the best in the world have those days when they're not, you know, and I have the belief with it's not good, it's never going to work out for them, then there's got to be encouragement. You've got to take encouragement from that. So I say that from Liverpool's perspective is that we feel a bit down in the dumps over everything right now. But this is a point I made on Social Club, is that football fixes all problems, and all Liverpool need to do is get back on the horse and get back to a win. And again, we'll feel as though nothing is insurmountable. It's just that it's this limbo period we're in now, particularly because it's Monday till the Watford game.
It's almost a hump day, isn't it?
It's just spending this week now going through the loathing and self-doubt until something drastic happens in the Manchester derby. You know, like, it's a 4-4, it's a confidence-sapping 4-4 draw with a major injury to an important player.
Do you want to win that?
Do
you want a draw?
I wanted a draw. Because I want to keep our options as open as possible. But so I think from that perspective, yeah, I think a draw would suit me. But I think if you're looking at it sensibly, you want Man City just to win that and so we can start to put Man United to bed. But it's a shame that that's the case, really.
Yeah, I think I want a Man City win.
I think it's set up for it, though, if I'm honest.
Yeah, well, good. Good, that's what I want. You know, they had the injuries to Zlatan. They need a kick in the teeth, really. I don't want to see them getting the Champions League through tough. If they get there through the Europa League, fair play to them. Because it's a tough competition to win. Mm-hmm. It's easier this season than last.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But it's still a tough competition to win, and it's still challenging the league as well and all that. Like, so yeah, I'd rather them lose, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I just think it's so set up for this to be like a grand hurrah from Manchester United. I wonder, though, with the games they've got coming up, and a victory against Chelsea, it was fantastic, and that was almost not very Mourinho from a lot of what he's been in recent years. I wonder, though, whether he'll be able to continue to do that for these few years, because they've got some big games, you know, against big teams. Whereas will he take a draw here or there?
Will he always take a draw?
And that's the thing that's the encouragement. That should be an encouragement for us. But I would. All the pressure is going to be on Pep Guardiola for this game. Mourinho's almost got a free pass to some degree. All he needs to do is get a draw out that game, and they're still in good shape in the league. And you know, they've got the Europa League as their backup, if nothing else, which they should be. Let's be honest, should win fairly comfortably. Yeah. So everyone's the tides all turn on Man City. This is a difference between. You know, Guardiola is going to be called a flop if he doesn't secure top four this season. It's all gearing towards that, so don't be shocked to see Man City pull something out, a really big performance out on Thursday, which would be lovely. Just quickly, we've obviously done quite a lot on that, which was brilliant. Daniel Sturridge, just quickly, we'll do more on this on the Reds News Roundup this week, but likely to be out for the season with a recurrence of his hip injury. Nothing would sum Daniel Sturridge's Liverpool career up more than just innocuously ending a season and never playing a game for Liverpool again.
Yeah, look, I said it on the news show this morning. I talked about Sturridge's injury, and every time Sturridge's name comes up on a news show, it's another injury. You can go back over the last 4 years and you can see how many times we've talked about it, because it's almost no news now.
Yeah.
It'd be news
if he was available.
Exactly. You know, he's started 5 games this season.
Yeah.
With 33 Premier League games in or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not good enough. It's not good enough for Liverpool. But I did go on to say that, you know, I actually like Sturridge. I think whenever he's on the pitch, he always gives his all. I think he always wants to be available. I think he's a good egg. I think he's good for the squad. I think he's good for the team.
He's a good egg.
Yeah. Look, it's one of them. His body has failed him massively.
Yeah.
It has. It's such a shame because he's such a talent. And when talented players like that, careers dwindle out. And I think that's what's happening. It's a mad shame.
It's a damn shame because he is what we're talking about, though, about a winner as well. You know, he's a natural winner. You don't go for a youth system. You know, I think he's from Birmingham, isn't he? He's moved to Manchester to be at Man City. He's then decided Man City wasn't for him. He's took his chances. He's moved on a free to Chelsea to go for his builders. Ambitions, it's not really worked out for him. He's moved to Liverpool. You know, he's clearly a guy who craves success, so I don't think he's lacking in that regard. But yeah, for whatever reason, people might say the mentality thing. I don't necessarily agree with the mentality side of things. I think, you know, but people do just, there's some people who need to be, who are, you know, they're just, well, they need to be a well-oiled machine. Everything needs to be smooth for them to be able to get what they are, to get what the best out of them. And I don't think he's ever adapted his game to be anything, to be able to achieve anything without being that, which is a shame because he's going to have to if he wants, I think, a career at the top end of footy between now and retirement. But this is the thing about Sturridge, it would be a shame. I just look at this, but I do look at his story and you look at the games he's played. He hasn't played more than, what, like 15 games a season, pretty much, apart from 13, 14, where I feel like we got 29 out of him. I saw it on Twitter.
I know he scored like 21 goals that season.
And a phenomenal season, but yeah, you can't. It's a shame, but it would be. I would like him to just have one last hurrah. I'd like there to be one last moment for him at Liverpool. Just one more goal. You know, just to give that thing, just so we can go and celebrate with the fans, just so we can have that lift. But it wouldn't surprise me if he never played for Liverpool again, and that was the way.
Full on Sturridge whimper.
Yeah, exactly. So Watford's coming up. Watford.
Hmm.
We remember Watford. We went to Watford last year.
Yeah.
That was terrible.
Was that was that Bogdan?
That was the Bogdan game.
Oh,
yeah.
My word.
Or the Odion Ighalo game, or the Martin Skrtel game.
Well, at least he doesn't play for them anymore.
Yeah, or the Lucas Leiva made his defensive centre-back defensive debut.
He did look
debut.
Good in that role.
He did look really good.
He did look really good. Signs of things to come, worryingly.
Yeah.
Watford, Monday night, bank holiday. Good fans. Loud stadium. They're going to be well up for it.
Yeah.
The one sort of comfort I get out of this game more than anything is they're technically in the top half of the table.
Mm.
They are 10th, aren't they?
Okay.
And there's 10 teams below them and there's 20 teams in the Premier League. So I make it a win for Liverpool.
That's I can get behind that. Like saying that though, there's footy to be played between now and then.
Yeah,
there's a lot of football to be played between now and then. So Stoke, Palace, Bournemouth and West Ham can all go above them.
I choose to ignore the midweek football apart from the City United match.
Even
right
Leicester,
now,
even Leicester,
it's a Liverpool win.
Jesus. I think we will. I think Watford are in no... I don't think Watford are in any real danger here.
They've got a couple of decent players. I think Deeney's got about 10 goals for them. Etienne Capoue, he's got six or something in his danger. I know they've been playing a lot of 4-2-3-1 recently, and I think that's a formation that we stack up against pretty well, to be honest with you. I think our 4-3-3 was kind of made to beat the 4-2-3-1.
Well, we said this at the start of the season, didn't we? So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, look, they're 9 points... They are 9 points ahead of Swansea, who are the top of the relegation pile at the moment, and Watford have got a game in hand on them. Yeah. So here's hoping. Look, amongst all hopes that Watford are all thinking of dreaming of a summer holiday.
This is where we've got to just go out and beat this team. Mm. Because this is a team that lost 2-0 to Hull at the weekend, and Hull had 10 men for 70 odd minutes of that game. It was 0-0 when the Ash got sent off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Hull.
Yeah.
With 10 men.
Yeah.
Go and beat them.
Yeah.
Come on, Liverpool.
Yeah, no, I absolutely completely agree with that. So fingers crossed and all that. I don't think there's too much to say about that. We'll obviously know more nearer to the time. Adam Lallana has been tweeting videos.
Come
and
on, Adam!
Don't come on, Adam.
I mean
if he wants it, do what it's supposed to do. Whatever it takes. Maybe
come on, Adam!
Maybe it's got healing powers. I don't know, but yeah,
Is that where you tell the message?
That would be, yeah, go ahead. Yeah. You know, glycoma, love, I can sort that.
A little bit of pink eye.
Let's be perfectly honest. We talked about this again on the final word that Liverpool are midfield of Lucas, Gini Wijnaldum, and Emre Can do you the job in certain instances, but when you've got to go and beat teams, really beat teams, you need your best at footy players on the pitch.
They're all good players, Paul, the three players that you've mentioned, but not one of them you would think, I'll play him in between the lines, I'll play him in the between the defence and their midfield, and he'll get us that key pass.
Yeah.
Whereas Adam Lallana is that guy.
Yeah, completely agree with that. Okay, so we move on. Well, I say we'll be doing the Uncensored Match Build-Up Show, which you can check out on the YouTube channel. In fact, you can check all of our content at all times on the redmentv.com, the free stuff and the paywall stuff as well, so please do. We've got some questions. We've got a lot of questions, but not a vast amount of time, but we'll get through them as quick as possible. Steo, our good mate Steo, the latest addition to the Red Men presenting scene. Right, you can't answer this question. You can't read this question without answering this question. So I says, does heinous sound like anus or penis? So heinous or heinous?
Heinous.
So again, like that's a defense defense thing there. It just answer, heinous is the American way of saying it, and heinous is the English way of saying it. But thanks very much for your question, Steve, who's not listening. Okay, Benjamin _Berb. Would you consider the team bottle jobs if we don't make top four this season? Bear in mind, we lost two finals last season. Gonna throw that in there.
Yes.
Yeah, 100%.
Quite frankly.
Yeah, completely agree with that. I think is that the problem is with all these things is that it's like being mean for being mean's sake, and bottle.
Like I wouldn't call them it
exactly. Bottle jobs is a very evocative way of saying thing. You know, it's basically an offensive way of saying it. Liverpool could, because of the fact that we've had things in our hands, in our own hands, a few times this season already, and whenever we've seen to do everything in our power to drop it. Fourth place is like the soap, isn't it? In a cliched prison scene, and Liverpool seem to just like having to bend over and pick the soap up. Like, I don't know. Maybe bottle jobs or gluttons for punishment. I'm not sure which way to fall on that. But I think if nothing, I think we should be considering it a disappointment.
Yeah.
Because we set the bar very high for ourselves this season.
We should have been challenging for the title this year.
Maybe. We should, if nothing else, have been. I agree with that in the notion so much as we should have been more comfortably in the top three of this league.
We shouldn't be anywhere near Manchester United. We were 14 points ahead of them at one stage.
Michael Gallagher, how much will a club pay for Sturbridge? And then follows up with, or even Sturridge?
Oh, 10 to 15.
I'd hope so. I've got 15 million in my head, and that's because for the same reason that Liverpool take constant gambles on players who've got injury problems, because he is a fit Daniel Sturridge. We'll keep saying this, and hopefully we'll never have to worry about it as our problem again from following on from this summer. A fit Daniel Sturridge is a goal every other game centre forward. He's a 1-2 man. He's actually better, but let's say he's a 1-2 man for the sake of argument. 1-2 centre forwards. You're talking in excess of 30 million quid. Probably now, since in the last season, since the Premier League money, you're probably talking 40 million and more. But again, he's got massive injury problems. He's not fitting at Liverpool. People will know that. We might touch massively lucky, and some club with blinded by the Premier League money goes a bit mad and starts and gives us more than 15 million. But I think 15 million would be pretty decent.
I think what I want is 20 million for him, but yeah. I think for that you need a bidding war, and I can't see that happening.
I don't know though. Think about it. Think about the clubs who are stupid with the money historically.
West Ham,
Newcastle. I'm not saying they necessarily fit Rafa Benitez. You know, we live in a world where Bournemouth paid £15 million for Jordan Ibe.
That's true.
So it wouldn't shock me to see a club like that. You don't know who, maybe you look at a Swansea, maybe if they stayed up. I live in hope.
I'm not sure he'll Premier League it now. I thought for all the world that he would. I wonder whether he knows his body's done. And if that's the case, hello MLS. Because they need a 27-year-old going over.
Yeah.
A big name, a good player going over. Now, he struggled there. Like, there's a lot of fast players, and you know,
defenses are horrendous in MLS.
Like, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know whether he might look to broaden his horizons and get out of the Premier League and get out of the spotlight and get out of a place where everybody's constantly talking about how crap his body is.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't want to be around.
No, it's true. I think Daniel Sturridge can be a Premier League player. I just don't think he can be a Premier League player under the... There's a certain number of clubs that require you to play a certain way. And you can't play for us, you can't play for Spurs, you can't play for Southampton, you can't play for clubs of that ilk, clubs that require you to work your bollocks off. Everton, probably now these days. I think if you took him to a football club and you did to him what Liverpool had to do to Gerrard and Agger, or Spurs had to do to Ledley King, and you just say, listen, mate, you don't train. Yeah, you train once a week. It's just conditioning stuff. We just make sure you're loose so you can play football matches, and then you get off. Clubs that need goals will do that. Clubs that need that, you know, and I think I don't think there will be a shortage of interest in Daniel Sturridge. And I think we might see him. I think we'll see him at the Premier League. I think we'll see him do okay. The good thing about him, provided his legs don't completely fall off, MLS will still be there in a couple of years' time. You know, a half-decent season in the Premier League next year. I could see him scoring double figures in the Premier League, but he probably would only play. You might only be getting 20 games out of him, one way or the other. But be interesting to see, if nothing else. Hopefully 15 million plus would be absolutely fucking sensational. Imagine if we got like 25. Oh my God. Ben Coates, hey, Ben Coates is back. Can we still buy top players if we miss out on Champions League? Do you think LFC could convince them to come if they added an extra 20 to 30k on the salary?
It really depends on what other clubs are going in for them. I think if Champions League clubs go in for them, then these guys pay more than us anyway, you know, so it'd be difficult. It'd be really difficult.
Yeah, I think that in a very simple sense, that if Liverpool have only got Europa League, there is a perpetual cycle of Liverpool being where they are. And if we want to break that cycle, we're going to have to smash out of the way we do things. And we have done things, and that might mean, I don't think you're going to get, without Champions League, it's going to be much harder to get all of your top targets. But I think you identify one and you go big on that one. And then maybe you have to do elsewhere, but it's got to be the right player that you go big on, because this is where Liverpool go wrong. We overspend on players that aren't worth being spent on. Some of the wages that Liverpool pay are obviously fucking ludicrous for the quality of play that we're getting in return. But if you were to go big on that one player, I don't know who that would be. But that, again, the profile that I mentioned of your winger, forward, attacking mid, go and get that guy, do what it takes, and he can be the one that propels you forward, definitely. One final question before we wrap up the audio version of what we're doing right here. Stephen Beeman. Are lobsters mermaids to scorpions?
That's a great question. I suppose they really are.
Maybe, yeah.
Although, yeah, I suppose so. I don't know. I've never considered it.
No, I can't say I've never considered it before.
I'd have to check that they haven't got legs as well.
Yeah. They do actually say that lobsters do have...
I feel like they have a couple of small legs.
Maybe.
And if that's the case, but they've got the big flowing tail.
But they are
tail.
Scorpions of
but
the
they
sea.
But they don't swim with their tail, do they? Do they walk along the bottom of tanks and stuff when you see them in restaurants and that?
Maybe that's how they don't escape.
Who knows? It's a great question. I'm Googling that. Stephen, just straight out, are lobsters the scorpions of the sea?
Yeah.
We'll get an answer shortly.
But are they mermaids to the feminine lobster, perhaps?
What was the question? Are
lobsters mermaids to scorpions?
That's an actual thing. That was a Google new.
Okay.
Shower thoughts. It's a subreddit. Okay, we're in. We're deep in. This is from 2014.
Hold on, guys.
Stephen Beeman.
Beeman.
Beeman. No, I'm reading.
It's not his Reddit. We might find lobsters are mermaids to scorpions, 220 are rhinos, unicorns to elephants. I feel like that.
Okay, it's fine. I don't think there'll ever be an answer to that one. But yeah, thank you very much for listening to the podcast this week. All you Acast, iTunes, Stitcher folk. If you want more Red Men TV content like this, which is more long form, us talking about Liverpool in depth and detail, if you don't do so already, go to theredmentv.com and subscribe. It's an absolute belter. We've got some amazing stuff lined up between now and beyond the end of the season, if I'm perfectly honest. Reds News Roundup show hosted by Stee, Liverpool Stat Show, which I will be on this week as well, if that's a selling point for you. Good. If it's not, then ignore that I just said that. If you want more of this podcast, you can. We're going to carry on for another 10, 15 minutes or so on theredmentv.com, the extended video version. So, guys, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing, for downloading, for voting, for reviewing, for all that shite. Walk on. We'll be back next week.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.